This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning, Bahamas. Good yawning this morning. It is cold and breezy. So you have my permission to not bathe this morning. You do not have my permission to be up close underneath other people. For it is COVID time, and we must maintain the COVID protocols and the 3 to 6 foot distancing between people in public and in enclosed spaces. This is good for us, I mean me, who don't like to bathe when it's cold and breezy. I think of it as a conservation effort. I would like to save electricity, and I'm not going to heat my water, and I'm certainly not going to take a cold bath, play around in the shower, and waste water. So solve the problem, don't bathe, wipe down, maintain your 3 to 6 feet so people can't smell you. Good morning, Bahamas. It is Tuesday, March the 9th, 2021. You're on the clock with Erin Green, and this morning we're talking police brutality, and with my guest today, Mr. Darwin Thompson, young human rights advocate. And we also going to have sort of an open line while Darwin and I discuss some of the issues in the paper today. I got a week full of guests, but today we're going to focus on what the audience thinks. We also have our book giveaway number 3. Remember, Keisha Ellis, young social justice advocate, has written or composed a layman's interpretation of the People's Constitution, of the Constitution of the Bahamas, and it's called The People's Constitution. And I'm giving away a book every day until I run out of books. It's an awesome, awesome little competition. Everybody should have one. If you can afford to buy one or a couple and give them as gifts. So, on the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. So let me give you the question and the rules for the competition. Rule number 1, do not call in with the answer. We want to give everybody an opportunity to play. We also don't want to help people to cheat because they may figure out the right answer from your wrong answer. Right? So don't call in, text in your answer. And the question today is, which provision in the Constitution tells us we have freedom of conscience, which includes freedom of thought and religion? Which provision in the Constitution tells us we have freedom of conscience, which includes freedom of thought and religion? Please join us in this conversation. Text in the answer. Also, like I told you, we're talking police brutality. So I'm going to ask my audience to join the conversation. Here's an opportunity to share your experiences with police brutality. But also, let's not just sort of focus on the negative, right? Also, if you have experiences or stories of wonderful behavior by police, right? Going beyond the standard that they're called to protect and serve, share those stories as well. So Darwin, let me give you my intro. This is what I was thinking about last night. Sure. Last night, the women in my house sat at the dinner table and listened to an audio recording of what is allegedly, and I say that in capital letters, allegedly a suspect or a person in police detention being physically abused. Every woman at the table was devastated by what they heard. Every woman was outraged by what it appeared was happening. Make no mistake, women in the Bahamas care about men in the Bahamas. We care about men, we care about migrant men, we care about the men that are known to the police. We care about the men and young boys that lost their lives to gang violence. I don't have enough information or evidence to prove in a court of law that what we heard in that recording is indeed a police officer assaulting and battering a detained suspect in a station. But what I do know is that there's a conversation in the public domain about police brutality. But I have heard countless stories of suspects being beaten by police. And the infamous story of the bus that would pick up young men and boys and take them on a long ride for a quick beating. Not all police beat suspects. Let me repeat that. Not all police beat suspects. And not all police condone the beating of suspects. Let me just say it one more time so you all understand what I'm saying. Not all police beat suspects or condone the beating of suspects. But all police know that beating suspects is an unspoken policy on the force. I mean, come on. We all know that beating suspects is a thing. Police brutality must end. The Minister of National Security and the Commissioner of Police must ensure that the informal policy is ended in the RBPF. The duty of care of the suspects, or for the suspects, the detainees and prisoners within the system, is similar to, if not the same, as the duty of care for children and adults in residential care facilities. People have basic human rights, inalienable rights that no one can take from them. Not all of these rights are explicitly enshrined or entrenched in the Constitution, but many of them are, like the right to life, liberty, security of the person, and the protection of law. And you could find that in the Constitution, Chapter 3, Article 15A. Some of us think that these rights don't apply to certain people, like undocumented migrants, and to prisoners, and suspects in police investigations, and gang members. But they do. Trust me, they do. And every year, the government is faced with cases challenging the behavior of state actors in regards to their duty of care for the people under their supervision. I don't know about y'all. I mean, well, I don't know about y'all because I ain't making no money off this government, right? But we sure spending a lot of the people's money paying for the mistakes of poorly trained, poorly resourced, and poorly educated state agents and actors. But let me repeat myself because this is the most important part. Police brutality must end. We have to stop beating people cheering in the streets and in stations like they're dogs. I had a texter yesterday who was concerned that we continue to focus on women, issues like femicide and violence against women and girls, and we don't spend enough time focusing on violence against men. And I wanted to assure that texter that women, Bahamian women, love Bahamian men. And this is an issue worthy of our attention. So, let me introduce you to my guest, Mr. Darwin Thompson. Good morning, Darwin.
Good morning, Aaron. I'm Bahamas. Good morning, everybody.
How you do?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Good.
So, I know you as a young human rights advocate.
Yes.
I met you working with Rights Bahamas.
Right.
And then you transitioned for a period of time to IOM,
yes,
the International Organization for Migration.
Yes.
So, I'm going to ask you, tell us a bit about your work with the organizations, your human rights advocacy work, and your primary focus.
Well, primarily, my focus has been migration, migrants. Mm-hmm. Being a migrant myself, it's a very passionate topic for me, especially seeing the treatment of migrants in countries all around the world, not just the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. So I have a strong passion for migrants and migration work, but also young people and, as a topic for today suggests, police brutality.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big one for me and hits home personally because I feel that in 2020 and 2021, there's been no greater time where police brutality has been so evident for myself at the age where I can understand it in its entirety and what drives it. There's been no greater example of how that police brutality affects us than the way that it affects me and my interactions with police. And I will give a bit of a short story a little later.
Yeah.
But for now, I'll allow you to continue the regularly scheduled questioning. Yes.
Absolutely. So look here, I got a text ahead that says, Aaron, we do not have freedom of religion. Why can the major denominations give children alcohol, but the Rastafarians cannot use their holy sacrament? Well, I know the issue about rights around religion, right? It's important for young people. When I was doing the research for my question, I realized that the right to freedom of thought, conscience, and sort of religion to decide what religion you're going to practice and how you're going to practice is limited because people under the age of 18 don't get to make those decisions on their own, and that's supported by law, right?
Correct.
You understand that the parents make this decision,
yeah.
Right? And I realized that for young people, they don't have access to the same rights that adults do.
Mm-hmm.
And for young people, we sort of rule over them with this degree of authority, right? Like, you're young and you do what I say. And in the same way, police tend to interact with citizens as if the citizens are their children,
mm-hmm.
and the police are the parents.
Right, right.
Do you think a lot of young people feel that way around the issue of religion and authority in society generally?
Yes, yes, definitely. I'd say that young people are generally afraid of interactions with not just police, but even senior members of the public,
mm-hmm.
for not just the types of conversations and what they're engaged in, and this mindset of having control over a situation seems to be the best way for them to look at it as, oh, everybody's in their place. Everybody knows what they need to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll give an example of that. Mm-hmm. I, as a young person, generally wouldn't like to join, let's say, a few of my 60 to 70-year-old friends or younger, between 40 to 60-year-old friends, at a dinner. It's just this perception that they have that the young guys don't know what's going on, don't know what's happening in not only their lives but also in the world, and so we have to kind of explain every little thing. We got to give this, we got to give that, and it comes off as a bit. I don't know how to explain it. The best way I can explain it is, it comes off as unnecessarily authoritative when it's not needed.
Right. Because what I think about it is, like, the adults act as if they're the default.
Right.
And so when you say something and they don't understand it, the onus is on you to make them understand it.
Right.
Make it understandable to them.
Right.
Versus a sort of balance, not of power, mm-hmm. and interest, right?
Right.
Like, I am interested in what you're saying, young person, so exactly. I'm going to think about it until I feel like I understand it.
Exactly.
Like old people carry on like they the default.
Yeah.
And everything else has to explain itself.
And this isn't every old person per se, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just a general fail. So you get into a conversation with somebody that might be considered older, And you may realize, wow, this guy's really open-minded. You know, you're thinking about everything I'm saying, and it's almost a breath of fresh air. And that also speaks to the fact that it's so uncommon, and it's not commonplace at all for you to experience somebody in Bahamian society that's older and is willing to listen to what you have to say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have this practice. So I'm working on this project, right?
Sure.
I think I'm going to call it the Empathy Project.
Yeah.
Because when I was younger and I used to go to summer camp on the family islands,
right.
Whenever you encounter somebody, if you're on the bus, if you walk in, you acknowledge their presence.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hand up to hail, a nod of the head in acknowledgement, or a good morning,
right.
or a hello.
Right.
And being at the summer camp as a kid and people hail you, it's like, I is somebody. We are somebody. They're hailing us.
Feel good.
Right. Yeah. And there's this acknowledgement that you're in the space, right?
Right.
And so I realized that as I move through town, that people don't really look you in the eye. And it's almost as if young people feel as if they're not allowed or they shouldn't look you in your face and acknowledge your presence, right?
Yes, yes.
So with this project, I want to upscale something that I do, which is when I see young people or I pass them in my car with my window down, I acknowledge their presence.
Mm-hmm.
I say good morning.
Mm-hmm.
If they're walking on the road, I say stay safe, be careful, right? Because in this sort of dynamic where we're trying to determine what police brutality is and what warrants, that level of interaction.
Right, right.
A lot of people are going to say these young people are disrespectful. These young people don't know how to engage.
Right.
And then when people are engaging the police, there's this sort of disconnect.
Yes.
The police have this expectation or this perspective that they are the default.
Right.
And you are not the default.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right? And so you automatically wrong.
And so as a young person, you go into the situation with the fear that I'm already wrong.
Mm-hmm. And if you are a educated young person or you have a degree of legal literacy, like you understand your rights, you understand what your real expectation, you understand what your expectations should be of police behavior.
Yes, yes.
And you understand what your real expectations are.
Right.
Right? There's a conflict with the young person who knows what their rights are.
Right.
And the police officer who thinks that they are the default.
Right. Even beyond young persons, older persons that may know their rights as well, treated with the same level of, I'd explain it best as violent. It's violence, really. The same level of violence as that young person.
Yeah.
So while a policeman may not consider themselves to be violent, their presence can be an almost violent insinuation, insinuation of violence towards another person, just based on the past and what we've seen them do.
Right. And so when you talk about violence, right? Because I have this question here. Do you think Bahamian people believe that the police should not be or physically assault suspects? Right? Do you think the Bahamian people think that's a problem?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you think the average Bahamian person thinks being...
Oh, absolutely. I you know, anybody you talk to on the street generally will feel the police can be a little violent, right?
Right.
So generally people believe and feel that physical assault at the hands of the police should not take place. And granted, you have your groups of people that don't believe that do believe that you should use physical assault as a means to control suspects.
Yeah.
So they're both sides. I think the most dominant side is that people believe that police should not be physically assaulting a suspect.
Yeah.
Generally.
But I think the majority of Bahamians understand that police brutality is wrong.
Right.
However, I think many of us think there are instances where it is warranted.
Right.
Right? And it is justifiable to beat a suspect.
Right.
I think that's a part of where our problems sit. I think also a part of it is you brought up this idea of the interaction is violent, right? In the 2010 Domestic Violence Act, the government expanded the definition of violence to include financial violence, emotional violence, and psychological violence, right?
Right.
So when we talk, when advocates talk about violence, we're not necessarily just talking about beating someone like a physical assault.
Correct.
Right? And so sometimes if a group of young men, they chilling on the park, they ain't doing nothing wrong except being young black men.
Exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. They ain't doing their schoolwork. They wearing slippers.
Yeah.
Right? They hanging out.
Yeah.
For a police officer to come into that space with this authoritarian attitude,
right,
could be felt as perceived as psychological violence.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like if we're not doing anything wrong, why do you need to come at us or engage us with that attitude?
Exactly. Exactly. And what further drives it is the stories that young people hear. So generally, young people within our own groups, we talk about these things. We talk about these issues. We address them within ourselves. And generally, we feel more inclined to meet that violence with violence than we are to meet that violence with advocacy or thinking about the most intelligent thing to do. And that we won't think first. We think, if you're going to be violent with me, I'm going to be violent with you. And so we get the reactions that we get from young people that we see all the time. Even with the video with the young tourist, he was so frustrated with the officer, he just flings his document and he says, I've had enough. And the officer slaps him right after, right? And and it shows we feel the weight of your authority, quotations. We feel the weight of that authority. And we throw violence at it in order to rebel because it's not fun being put in a position where you feel less than and you feel like the man is coming to, you know. It's generally a perception that as we get older, we start to realize maybe, you know, all human beings aren't the same. Maybe if I treated this officer a little less violent, but at the same time...
Yeah, you're responding to something.
Exactly, right? Exactly.
Absolutely. So, look here, I got a caller on the line. Let's go to this call because I think we missed the first call.
Yeah, sure.
All right.
Sure.
Arlington, they ready? Caller, you're on the clock.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How you doing?
I'm fine. Good morning to your guest.
Morning.
Hey, Aries, you don't bait, eh?
No, listen, I say I don't like to bait. There's a difference. I live in a house of Christian women, so I have to bait three times a day. I just don't like it.
Did I clear that up? Call and clear that part up.
Thank you very much for that help.
Yeah, but look, yeah, I have no problem bathing right now.
Do you like this cold weather?
Oh, I enjoy that. You was talking about the police. And I experienced the good and bad about the police force.
Yeah.
The good part, I said my vocal job each year, getting ready to cross. And the control car stopped. Police came with the car and hold back the traffic so I could pass.
Awesome.
And that was beautiful. And that's public duty. And the police realized that they not just go after criminals or bad guys, but their duty is to observe. They was observing me heading into the mall. And they crawl and they stop and you know,
assisted.
I could have passed.
Yeah.
I think the comeback behavior of the police, because the police come from society like us, community. You must know your basic law as much as possible, and you don't shout back at the police. In spite of them shouting at you, you hold your right. All they could do, arrest you. Or if they try to exercise brutality, remind them of their duty. And anybody could tell you, once you see you know your rights and your basic rights, they're going to back off. He's a bad cop. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Right. So that is important that if he's going to arrest, he said, well, I'll arrest you. Then he could hold you for a couple of hours, or you could call your lawyer. You know?
Yeah.
But most of the time, they are perfect police force. But what I also think, Aaron Green, the police need more, and I don't know if police force does this, they need psychological training. Community training.
Yeah.
And I noticed they don't have that, because one officer shouted at me. I said, why you are shouting? And why you call me boy? So officer, you like me to call you boy? And the other police who was near him, he told him to back off. Because he saw where I was going with that, you see?
Right.
So you just got to be knowledgeable. Try to educate yourself, police act. Try to educate yourself on what's happening. That's why we need a national service. Because not every police come from a good an environmental home of manners. Police is in our community.
Yeah, they come from our communities.
If you see a manly police, he learned at a home.
Right.
Yeah.
If you see a police acting or showing off, he have no brother, see, somewhere down the line. Though the police force, medical training, kind of try to change that. But sometimes you need to bring that out to the community. And best community to bring that out is national service.
Right.
Yeah, to get best type of community programming.
Right.
Yeah, national service.
Yeah.
You know, call it.
Cover a broad spectrum of behavioral training. Because I remember Selenium Pillen, and I end with this.
Sure.
He recommended national service. He said, Aaron Gray, I don't know if you grew up. I guess you grew up with a mommy and daddy, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Harvest children are growing up children because they haven't children so young.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's why Selenium Pillen strongly mentioned or strongly recommend a national service. So that belief could have come from a national service. Because that belief acting out, because he never grew up with a daddy.
Well, you know,
he didn't grow up with a good mother. I mean, who know how to be a mother.
Right. Let's not cast aspersions, because I already...
No, I'm just saying...
No, I know the point you're making.
Of what police got to go through.
Yeah.
But people don't understand the behavior.
Absolutely.
People think you need to broaden it and make sure you mentioned program when I first started.
Yeah.
Programs upon programs.
Absolutely.
Remember when you growing up, we had the scout. We had the girls' guide.
That's what I was just getting to, Pumpkin Eater, right? When you talk about a national service, and then you talk about the privilege of having grown up in a family with both parents being present, right?
Right.
These programs, the Girls Guides, the opportunities for extracurricular activities, being in the Rangers, being... Like, for me, my experience was being a part of the Methodist Youth Summer Camp Program, right?
Yes, I remember that.
Because it was a matter of you volunteer to be a counselor. And you volunteer to raise the money to pay your own way to participate as a counselor.
Right.
Right? And these experiences of volunteerism, of community, that require you to learn how to exercise discipline.
Correct.
But most importantly, and I think this is it, opportunities that teach you, right, but opportunities that teach you to acknowledge and exercise your personal authority within a larger power structure or with greater authority over you.
Right.
With decency.
Right. Ah,
right.
And with decency.
Right.
If I could, Pumpkin Eater, I want to let my guest chime in as well, right?
Yeah. So I want to speak about the human rights aspect of police and their job. So often we look at the police as these, you know, persons with a government job that are making a lot of money to protect us, but the reality can be very, very far from that truth there. So I have members of my family, extended family and friends that are policemen. And it is generally known that they work in some of the most difficult conditions in the country, in any right. in any government department, any kind of public life. They work in some of the most deplorable conditions. And that also contributes to this police brutality discussion, because generally the moods that police are in depend on if they're at the end of that 18 to 20 hour shift or if they've just started that shift.
Mm-hmm.
And that generally guides the way that our police
operate.
Mm-hmm. So you could tell when a policeman is tired, they stopping you, they ain't got no kind of patience, they ain't even on your run. That's in right. fact, sometimes they'll be like, man, go, I'm not even into that.
But listen, I was about to say, I know when a policeman is at the end of his shift,
yeah,
because he ignoring all the traffic infractions
exactly.
in front of him.
Exactly.
He's just worn down by the day.
Mm-hmm.
And he got a, right? It's like the principal with the spoons.
Right.
Right? So people with autoimmune diseases and chronic illnesses,
right.
they practice what they call the spoon therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And when I wake up, I assess how many spoons I have available to me.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And dealing with the kids, getting them ready to go to school, that's one right. spoon.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I got to prepare mm-hmm. myself for work. That's spoon number two.
Right.
That's right.
I got to deal with this traffic. That's spoon number three. I exactly. out of spoons for the day.
Right.
So that co-worker that like to wait until I buy breakfast to ask me if she could have some, I have no patience for her today because I already out of spoons.
Right.
Right? And so many police officers are navigating their professional and personal lives right. in that way.
Right.
They just don't have enough spoons.
And it's right. better coming together on your nerve. Don't get on my nerve today.
Exactly. Yeah. And then there's no emotional intelligence,
drain out. So you're coming together on my nerve.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, Pumpkin, I got another caller.
All right.
Thank you. Look here. Thank you for joining and staying with us this long.
Mm-hmm.
Well, also remember training.
Yeah.
And also, we need a police. We need a national service.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Thank
have a good
you.
Day.
Thank you. I want you all to see that Pumpkin Eater's critique is in an attempt to enhance the police service, not break it down.
Correct.
Caller, you're on the clock.
Pleasant. Good morning, Miss Green.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. And your mom and your guests.
Good.
Morning. You know something, Miss Green? A lot of people would not like to admit. Majority mm-hmm. of them are cowards, you know.
Yeah, plenty of us are cowards.
They come from remember, we all live on the same little 21x7 island, uh-huh. you know.
Mm-hmm.
They all come from the same neighborhoods and have to walk through the streets where we live and they knock off. But when they go to work and they put on, you know that they have that red stripe?
Mm-hmm.
That red stripe is a signal, for a sign of power.
Mm-hmm.
That instilled in them mentally in their training.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happened is when they get in a group, plus they have ammunition, licensed ammunition on them. If we have any ammunition, ours is illegal.
Yeah.
The only thing we're allowed to have running in regards to ammunition, unless you're...
Nothing.
You're still a store owner with special permission.
Right.
Had some previous broken and was injured, and then you get maybe the commissioner will give you a special thing. You have to go to proper training to use your firearm.
And can only use it for the specific purposes that you've been authorized for.
Right. Then yeah. other than that, you're allowed to get a shotgun to go from white crown pigeon or wild hog hunting in Andres mm-hmm. and Abaco during any season.
And the weapon must be secured in a
safe inside your house and everything.
Right, when you are not hunting.
In case of burglar coming to your house, you got to run, look for the key here, and remember you put the key, you got to know how many.
Well, that's because you are not authorized to possess
that
weapon.
Right, but the burglar coming in with his and his hand.
I feel you. What a
you
conundrum.
Know,
yeah.
What I'm saying is they're cowards. See, when they're in a group, they got power over you, plus you handcuffed. They'll beat the snot out your nose.
Sparky.
And protect, hold on, and they're well protected by themselves and sometimes by doctors at hospitals. And I'm telling you what happens. You understand what I'm saying? Right. And I tell you things again. Sometimes you got to listen.
No.
Because let me tell you something, Miss Jenny. You let them come out by themselves in the night, by the little club with nothing on them, and they're in the middle of a bunch of people. They're the quietest fellas in the world.
Because
they know they'll tote something their mother and their father never put on them.
Right. We're going to cut it right there, Sparky. First of all, we interrogating police brutality. We don't want to create an environment that fosters more distrust against the police. Mm-hmm. But I want to touch on something you said when you talked about cowards, right? And let's link that to something Pumpkin Eater said. Pumpkin Eater said, the police come from us. They are us.
That's right.
The same culture, personal culture that they take into the force with them is a culture that they developed among us in the community.
Exactly.
So when you say that people are cowards, and I said, yes, they are, I was talking about me because there are plenty of things I'm scared of, right? Because the life is a scary thing. And people, in many instances, are very scared of some things. And the way we raise children in this town, because we got this bit of this bullying culture in our parenting culture, right? A lot of young people grow up being afraid of older people and authority as opposed to having reverence for it and understanding its place in the family and the wider community.
Right.
So when we talk about cowards, we have a lot of people whose personal culture is that they fear authority. Because authority doesn't help them solve problems. Authority chastises them and beats them for not being able to solve their own problems, right?
Right.
Punishes them. So, yes, we do have a lot of police officers that may enter the force with a personal culture that they have a degree of fear of authority. So when they come into a position of authority, right? Their views around authority and their personal authority are informed by their personal experience.
Correct.
So when you say, when they by themselves, they meek as lambs, but when they're in a group, sometimes they carry on like gangs, right? Yes, we import this personal culture, and sometimes we have to fake it till we make it.
Right.
I have to believe I have the authority to control these people. I have to believe it first before the people believe it.
Right.
The thing is, though, do we convey this authority by making people afraid of us? Or do we convey this authority by showing people that we have the power through the law to do certain things,
right,
but also that we will use our authority in certain ways to solve problems?
Right.
So, Sparky, I know I cut you there because I had to cut you. Yes, I'm glad that you spoke. We need to hear people talk about their experiences with police brutality because it is real, but we do not want to foster an environment of distrust with the police or anger and rage towards the police.
Right.
I see you, Arlington. I hear you. We got to take a break, darling.
Sure.
Arlington, let's go to this break. Caller, hold on the line. Text us. We're going to get to your answers shortly. We'll be back, Bahamas. You're listening to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
If you are 65 or older, it is important for you to get immunized. Immunizations are not just for children. As you age, you are more at risk for illnesses like pneumonia. The pneumococcal vaccine protects against certain pneumonias and boosts your immunity. Contact your nearest clinic or healthcare provider for more information. Remember, immunizations are free at all government healthcare facilities. Let's prevent disease. Immunize, please.
This message has been brought to you by the Ministry of Health.
Me, Jackie. Jackie's a hard worker with a steady income, but she has a personal loan and multiple credit cards to pay off. To keep her account current, Jackie opted for a loan from Fidelity Bank to consolidate her debt into one monthly payment and earn interest on a built-in savings account. Be like Jackie. Call 356-7764 to book a complimentary financial coaching session. Fidelity also offers virtual assistance. Fidelity, we're good for you.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning. You're on the clock with Erin Green. You tuned into 96.9 FM. And let me apologize. I did not give you those call-in numbers at the top of the show like I usually do. You can call us at 323-6232, 325-4316, or 326-4259. And for the text line, 422-4796. 422-4796. So, Darwin, I'm going to read this text dead quick, and then, caller, we're going to get to you in a moment. Sure. It says, good morning, Erin. The police have taken on the job of judge and jury. They have forgotten that their job is to apprehend, and the courts must handle the rest. Bahamian police act as if you have no rights, and if you speak or defend, you are resisting or acting with misconduct. Our police need a standard of interactive conduct. You don't know what you will get from one officer to another officer. See, that's another thing, right? That's another thing. You have an interaction with a bad officer, and then you have an interaction with an officer who's good, but you don't care, because at this point, all officers are bad. Right. And so now this officer trying to figure out why you have this attitude with me. Oh, miss, yeah, I only yeah. asked you to move your car because you're in a no parking mm-hmm. zone. Mm-hmm. You carrying on like you want to get locked up? Boy. Anyway, let's go to the callers. Caller, you're on the clock.
Yes, good morning, Erin.
Hey, good morning. How you do?
Yeah, I had a little joke with the mango tree yesterday. Listen. I want to get this in quick because, you know, I'll be 57 in August, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I had numerous throughout my life. It's just like, you know, I've changed, right? But what I'm saying is the last text was spot on. And so the situation that Nahaja highlighted yesterday, I went through the same experience. The only difference was I was by myself. They shot at me. They almost killed me. I have witnesses to this stuff. This happened like in 2007. And so I was actually wearing a blue Columbia raincoat. The person they're looking for was said to be wearing a yellow Columbia raincoat, as I found out subsequently as I rode in the car. They shot at me. So after a while, I stopped running because I say, man, 6'7", but he's shooting at me. I say, it can't be like I do nothing. I ran to the food store, and they didn't say freeze. And come to find out, it was a mistaken identity. But I had a giant of weed on me, two giants. I ended up eating one. I eat two, and then I ended up leaving one in my pocket. So after they handcuffed me, I realized one still was in my pocket, but it was raining, so they didn't see it. So they actually choked me. I had to fight them to stop, because the weed was lodging in my throat. They tried to choke me whilst I couldn't breathe. So I had to fight them, and they say, oh, look, you're trying to fight it. And I explained it to them. And then whilst I was handcuffed, before I went in the car, an officer, I know his name, gun butted me to pieces in my head with a big spin barrel gun. I started to bleed from the face. So the patrol car, they put me in the patrol car because they was on uniform. They put me in the patrol car, the uniform police officers. We went to the growth station. So the police officer, while I was on the way to the growth station, the police say, I reached and I put the side to eat the next joint. So he grabbed me by my neck. And he say, what did this you eat? And he said, that's a joint. He said, man, that's what this bothering you for. So some police are different. And then the police officers at the station said, no, you got to carry me to the hospital. You can't bring him here, let that bleed from here, blood draining on my face. You know what they did? They let me go. So I mean, they got to follow and die. And then just a couple of weeks ago, they was looking for a guy around by me. He was wearing an ankle bracelet, but he's a young man, so he's passed, and I asked him to come in the shop. They helped me lift a piece of furniture. So he did that. So when I looked, subsequently, some police officers pulled up in front of the shop, came walking in the shop. I saw them, but I was calm, and so they walk up, and they asked him for some money. And I said, man, these people live someplace up the way. He must live around the corner with a couple of girls and things. So they were around me inside. They asked me because I don't know where the person stay, and then telling me he's a bad businessman, and then the person ran an ankle bracelet, so they should be able to know where he is. And then they turn around while they treat him inside. I didn't make sure by myself.
Mm-hmm.
One of the big baboons pick up the big 12 inch scissors I have off my table. While they talking to them, they trying to scare me. I say, hey, hold on, big man. I say, don't touch nothing. I say, you don't have no search warrant, man. You just can't come walk up in your. And I start around with them, and then I say, no. Hey, you know, calm down. This is where I live, bro. You can't just come here and tell it. But no, this is the attitude they have, you know. So so one comes in, but he's a cop. I said, man, I ain't no police, so that don't mean nothing to me. Now, he was so rude. Guess what the barbarian did? The young barbarian slammed my shop door as he left and break the frame to say, that's me. This is the type of barbarians they have running around. Marvin Dame should be ashamed of himself with 18 cameras in the car. Listen, man, this is ridiculous, man. Have a good day.
Go on.
Caller, I 100% agree with the 18 cameras comment. 18 cameras is not enough. We need more than enough cameras.
Hold on, they have 18 body cameras?
18 cameras in cars. So there's only 18 cars that have cameras. But we have a fleet of, I'm probably quoting a number that may be a little crazy, but at least over 500 cars.
We can't have, okay, first of all, that number is crazy. There cannot be 500 police cars throughout this country.
Yeah.
No, I don't believe it. No, I don't believe it. Because you don't see them. I mean,
I agree.
Right, but 18 cameras is obviously Not enough. No. And so, you know, my question is, are you more concerned about protecting your police officers from prosecution? Mm-hmm. Or are you concerned about protecting them from themselves? Exactly. See, because if you put the camera in there, mm-hmm. you'll be protecting them from themselves.
Exactly.
Because you will monitor it. You
exactly.
will identify the bad behavior, and you could call these officers in, and you can discipline them appropriately.
Nip it in the butt.
Right.
Yeah.
Catch it ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. We got another caller on the line. Caller, you're on the clock.
Hi, good morning, Aaron. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How you doing?
Wonderful. Very timely show, man. I appreciate you airing this show like this.
Yeah, thank you.
I put it to you, Aaron, that our police force is the biggest gang in the Bahamas, licensed by the state, you know. And I also put it to you that we have a police system that creates criminals, because when you arrest an innocent man and you treat him like that and you put him in a cell where he's thinking about him going through what he went through on air for nothing, doing nothing. Innocent is what... When you put a whole man in a cell like that and just let him sit in a cell, all of the things that run through his mind, when you get him back out in society, you're not getting a whole man back. You're getting a man who is thinking about what he just went through, what the police just done to him for nothing.
He's broken.
You know, so
yeah.
therefore he can't function mm-hmm. as an upstanding citizen anymore in the country. So I say that we have a system that creates criminals.
I agree with you. I think that we have a system, and not just a judicial system or a sort of policing system. We got a culture,
uh-huh.
right, that
yeah.
criminalizes people and criminalizes young people in
right.
particular,
mm-hmm.
right,
mm-hmm.
in spaces where they should have freedom to do certain things.
Exactly.
But listen, thank you very much, caller.
Thank you.
Yeah, man. And we got, sorry.
I'll give two contrasting stories of one of a bit of an overzealous police officer.
Yeah.
And I give one of a very kind police officer very quickly. My wife and I, with our daughter, were sitting on the beach at Yamacraw. It's about 7 o'clock in the night. It's mm-hmm. it's getting dark. And a police officer pulls up and stops. We ride what some people consider, and they say it like this, white people car.
Yeah.
So the officer comes and he's very calm. They go over to a car that's next to us. That's a Swift.
A bubbler.
Suzuki Swift. And the officer that went over to that car asks the occupants to step out and searches them and does all this. To us, the officer just comes and said, "You guys look like a nice family, sitting out, you know,
yeah.
nice and
yeah.
comfortable in your car." I said, "Well, officer, you shouldn't assume that, but I appreciate the fact that, you know, you're not going through the extra." He said, "Well, sir, listen to me. People coming around, they're robbing people. Y'all need to be safe. You know, we're looking for people in certain cars. This, that, and next." I said, "Oh, okay, what kind of, you know, just so I could also look at what kind of car you're looking for." He said, "Suzuki Swift." So the people next to us in the Swift, granted, they weren't related to it, you know, but
yeah.
that goes to show that officer was genuinely looking out, right?
Right. In theft investigations,
mm-hmm.
I always looking for cars with blue plates, like
right.
blue plates and black writing.
Right.
With only like four things on it. Sometimes it say CM and
yeah.
sometimes say M. That's the kind of car I'm looking for.
Yeah,
in
exactly.
my investigations.
Right. So contrasting that, there's this other time where I'm in my car. I'm by myself as a young
mm-hmm.
man, having a black and mild after a long day. And a police car is driving past. I did not see the police car. And
yeah.
all I see is this bright white light just
mm-hmm.
shines into my car. The first thing I did was pop my car on, put every single window in my car down, and put my hands immediately up in there.
Yep.
I was so afraid when I saw that light. I said, the first thing I'm going to do, he pulls up and he said, "Driver, step out of the car." So I step out of the car. He puts me in handcuffs and he says, "What you doing here? You's a drug dealer? Said, "No, sir." And I kept quiet throughout the entire interaction. I allowed him to search my whole car. At the end of it, he left my car open so long that the battery died in the car. And I said, "Man, officer, you left the car on. You know, can you help me out with a quick jump?" He said, "No, you're too stupid. So stay your hip right there. That's good. You're too stupid."
Wow.
Like, oh, okay.
Wow. Anyway, listen, we are at the end of the show. I even get to tell my story about how the police saved me several times from my own stupidity. See, because it was me. It wasn't you. I was the stupid one. And so there are definitely instances and officers that see their roles as to serve and to protect and to minimize and nip things in the bud,
right.
as opposed to penalize and destroy the lives of people when a simple warning or right. use of discretion could be applied. And right. I want to say thank you to the universe and all of those officers. And I also acknowledge that that's a privilege that I have.
Yeah.
But Darren, we at the end of the show, and I got to get to the text because we had this competition today.
Yes.
The giveaway, the third giveaway, and the question was, which provision in the Constitution tells us we have freedom of conscience, which includes freedom of thought and religion? And the first text came in at 10:15 with the correct answer. It's provision 22. I got lots of texts, including chapter 3, article 15A, onward speaks to freedom of religion. You write onward 22 follows 15, but the specific provision is 22. Mm-hmm. And the winner of today's competition, their number starts, if you're listening, starts with 242-828. That's 242-828. And I will contact you at the end of today's show to sort out the details for delivery. Let me just read some quick texts. Green, how are you? Too straight. I am good, thank you. And I wish you well on your endeavor for a second election for your party. I got a lot of incorrect answers here. I got a text here that says, we are a dishonesty generation, so police need to beat the truth out of them. Let the innocent suffer for the guilty. While that is some satire, we have to shut that down. No, the innocent should not and shall not suffer for the guilty. Too much of our tax dollars are being paid compensating innocent people who are suffering for the guilty. It's time for government to drop the travel restrictions and open up economy. People are getting vaccinated soon. Well, there is a rights conversation in there because I'm very concerned about the implications for the freedom of movement of citizens through the family of islands in the time of COVID. I got another text. Aaron, these schools don't encourage volunteerism. The amount of homework that these schools send home every day and for the weekend is disgraceful. When are children supposed to have time for extracurricular and nation building? I salute all good police. Get rid of the unprofessional ones. Aaron, here's a million-dollar question. What is the training of our police officers? We need to see documentation and video of how they are being trained. I don't believe our armed forces are being properly trained in sexual assaults, police brutality, communication, or our laws and constitutions. And the text says, prove me wrong, RBPF. Show me how good you really are. Mm-hmm. I added that little part at the end, how good you really are. I have a text here that says, and it's men's fault. Missed the point. Society does hate men, but the issue is that your words show you people actually think women have greater or more issues than men. We do need national service in RBDF for a short period after training. Imagine the Bahamas where every citizen had military discipline. Society does not hate men. Society could not hate men. Look at the world around you. Men are still the default, and then everybody else have to explain why we're here. Good morning. The police are from the community. They are from us. The national grade average is D. Look at the history of the police here. It was established largely with individuals from other British colonial islands in the mid-1800s. This was done by white oligarchy. This was mainly done to keep the masses down and in check. They have now gotten out of control and are a law unto themselves. I hear my music playing, and I get one last text, and the complaint unit is useless. Well, maybe they are powerless, and what we need is legislation to give them the power they need to do their job. Okay. Darren, I want to thank you for joining me this morning. Bahamas, I want to thank you for joining me this morning. This is an important conversation in the middle of International Women's Day because women care about men, but it's also Police Month. So hopefully I can get some police officers to come in and talk about things like training and, most importantly, resources and access to psychosocial services for officers that are facing high-stress situations on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Listen, we got to figure this thing out, Bahamas. We got to learn how to live with each other and love each other. I'm Erin Green. You've been on the clock. This is 96.9 FM. Lee Van Miller and Unleashed is up next. Have a great day, Bahamas. Be good to each other.